Tuesday was crazy for me. I was just having this kind of emotional day, and I'm driving somewhere, and I'm just listening to the radio, and this song came on, and I'm like, I don't know, it was good, but I just wasn't feeling it. So I switched over to Spirit 105.3 FM, and there was Christmas music. And a lot of it. You want to know what? I listened to a bunch of it. I was like, that was what I needed. I didn't even know that. I'm like, have a holly jolly Christmas. I'm like, Burl Ives, man, you're the dude I needed today. What is your deal? Wait, he's gone. But anyways, I was just like, why? Christmas music. And yet, like, there's people putting up their decorations already. And this one friend of mine said, oh, I've been rocking that Christmas music since like the middle of October. And I'm like, I know some counselors. I mean, I could help you out. But seriously, we try so often, right, to find something better than what we're experiencing. Something different, something nostalgic, maybe with Christmas stuff. But more than that, just like John shared and just like Josh prayed, we're all in it together. And some of us really dig Christmas music. Some of us really dig that for the first time in the history of our existence as America, unless something phenomenally different happens in the courts, we're going to have an African-American, Asian-American female as a vice president. And for some people, that's like, oh, what? And for other people, she looks like us. You know, there's people that are rejoicing like we just read and sang, and people who are grieving like we just read and sang. There's people who are feeling so exhilarated, and people who are feeling so deflated. And that's just Christians. Can you imagine people whose hope isn't in Jesus Christ? Isn't in the risen Lord and Savior? Isn't in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's actually deposed kings and officials and set kings and officials up? People ask the question, then, how do you explain Hitler? Good question. All I know is that God flips the script on what we see as the final answer all the time. Does anybody have an amen for that? Has anybody been lost before? Am I the only one? Let me see those hands, and I can't see you online, but has anybody felt lost? Has anybody been physically lost before? I mean, shoot, that can be fun for a minute, right? And then you're like, oh. You ever turn down the radio so you can find where you're going? What's that about? I'm like, this helps me focus. I mean, some of you know that I have a hard time focusing. You might know that some of what I'm sharing is in the message, and most of it isn't just now. And when I'm studying, I have to listen to what my wife calls elevator music. I find it much more helpful. It's instrumental. It doesn't have lyrics. I remember when Amy and I worked together, she goes, oh, this song is helpful. And I'm like, Amy, it's got lyrics. It's not helpful for me. I just go, oh, that's cool. And then I'll go to another one that's got other lyrics. And then next thing you know, an hour and a half has passed by. And that's before I got like into Facebook. You guys, we get to come to Christ as we are. We get to find our hope in Him. He's not fretting. He's not disappointed. He's not going, oh, what's going to happen now? Look, I didn't vote for either of the two major parties that I could vote for. I wrote somebody in. So I already knew. I also live in Washington. So it doesn't really, I mean, every vote matters, but does it? I mean, it does because you vote your conscience. And you vote what you believe. But friends, let's not get it twisted. We didn't vote on Jesus. He is who he is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty, and he became human. And we're going to look at that today in a very, very profound way in the book of Philippians. I want to pray right now. I want to encourage you right now. I want to invite you right now to pray, to celebrate, to grieve, to lament, to whine, to complain to God. And watch him put you in perspective. Watch him help you think bigger. Does anybody besides me have faith, hope, and peace that God knows how all this is going to work out and he's going to make it work out? Amen. Let's live like that. Not later, but today. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give of our lives, to give of our minds and our hopes, our dreams and our failures and our successes, and to give all of what we have to you. God, some of us are having a really hard time being able to focus on the fact that you can make all things work for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Some people are so excited because they think the world is so much better now that somebody else will be in charge. God, as Christ followers, may we point people to the one who's been in charge forever. God, I thank you for the opportunity for us to give. Lord, give up our pain, our agony. Give over our fears. Then we'd give up our rejoicing and we give up our focus to you and on you. God, I thank you so much for this day to be together. Thank you for our country. We desperately need you no matter who is the human that's in charge or the party that seems to be in charge. God, so much more than that, we get to be men and women and children who know that you and you alone are working it out. You and you alone are the one that takes us right where we're at but refuses to leave us where we're at. God, America needs you. The world needs you. Thank you for pointing that out to us. Thank you for consequences and benefits. And thank you for highs and lows. And thank you for ups and downs. And thank you for ins and outs. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I'm so excited to get into Philippians 2. So excited that we have this opportunity to be unpacked, undone, repackaged, redone, and go out and live according to what you would call us to live. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably don't have a whole lot more on the election for you, okay? Maybe somehow it'll make its way back into my mind, but what I have today is joy. Anybody like joy? I got a daughter sitting right over here named Tiana Joy, aptly named. One of the most joyful people I've ever met in my life. I just like being around her. When she's not having a great day, I can't wait for her to be encouraged and joyful. She just like will sing and dance just for no reason at all. Anybody got somebody like that in their life? Are you like that? There's joy in her, and I love that. Love you. I didn't even know you were going to be here, so hi. And Domingo, you're all right. Super joyful. I've worn a shirt one time, and he goes, "No way. Oh, that looks so good." I'm like, every day, bro, just call me up and say stuff. Joy, right? Just being filled with joy. Well, I want to tell you that we're looking at Philippians as thinking bigger, going beyond what you see, letting it be magnified in Jesus, and not just the pain and the agony, but the opportunity and the hope, the joy and the life, the living. And so I said this to you in the first week, and I just want to bring it back to our attention. We, by turning our eyes, minds, and hearts to the power, joy, and fellowship of the good news, the gospel of Jesus, by doing this, it helps us to think, live, and love bigger. Do we need that today? And it's no offense, it's not going to be Christmas music that you know, flips the script for all of us. I think the Christmas story, the legit humility of God becoming a human and a baby, that's a big deal. That ought to bring you joy. Good news for all people. But we need to turn our eyes. Nobody else is going to do it for us. I remember when I was reading just this week to my kids, and my phone vibrated, and I've got all kinds of distractions going on in my head to begin with, already aforementioned, but I go over to look at my phone to see who it is, and my daughter grabs my face and brings it back to the book. But I still had to turn my eyes. She turned my face towards that, but I could go back over here if I wanted. That's my choice. It's your choice. Will you today choose? And so let's unpack this today by this word joy. Maybe you've heard this, and it's cheesy. I get it. It's cliche. Okay. I need a little bit of cheese. Here's a little something about cheese, by the way. For some people, it can wreck them. For other people, it'll make their day. All of us, if we eat too much of it, are messed up anyways, right? But here's the good news. Jesus, others, yourself. Keep it in that order. This is joy. Jesus, J. Others, O. Yourself. Why, Aaron, we can read it. No, I'm just trying to make a point, right? So look for this. Because over 20 times in the book of Philippians, you hear rejoice or joy or joyful. I mean, you can't go too many verses in this little packed book without seeing joy. So I want to ask you that in this day and age, especially in this day and age, look for Jesus first, others, and then yourself. We live in a world that says, look, I can't love you unless I love myself. And that almost makes sense. Except Jesus said the most important thing was to actually love him with all that you have. And then love yourself as you love others, right? Or love others as you love yourself, I should say. That, like, you're tied for a second. It's not like, well, I've got to love me first. We're about to find out that you actually have to lay down your life. But you can't just OD on Jesus. You actually have to share him. Here's the thing. If you hoard, you actually are taking from yourself the opportunity to be joyful, to be filled up, to be complete. Let's go. We'll go Philippians 2, 1 through 4. So Paul in 1 is talking about how, look, for the sake of Christ, you shouldn't only believe in him, but you should suffer for his sake. It's a gift. You've been granted this opportunity to believe and to suffer. These are good things that actually bring out this unity in Christ because he actually suffered. But he believed that good was going to come from his suffering. And has it? Has good come from Jesus' suffering? Is anybody? Remember all of you that raised your hand and said you were lost, but now you're found? Yeah, good comes from Jesus' suffering. Oh, is that the gospel? Yeah. So, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, if you got anything good coming to you from Jesus, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord. That's together and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. There's a little shout out to, like, you have to take care of yourself, but you need to take care of others. I don't know if you've ever understood this idea, but when we were at Cascade for a long time, over the door, as you left the sanctuary, it said, your needs will be met on your way to meeting the needs of others. That's a word for us today. We don't know how this is going to work out, and we're collecting and being careful, and we're hoarding. No, he says, look, if you got any good that's coming to you from Jesus, share it. If you got anything that's encouraging you, be of one mind, be of one purpose. Yeah, I know, that's why everybody should have voted Democrat. That's why everybody should have been a Republican. Then everything would be better. I don't catch any of that in there. And so far, I was like 1 point in and I'm talking about the election again. Or am I? Maybe I'm talking about the fact that we try to find these practical saviors and Jesus is the only savior. So trust him. Believe him. If you're good with this, if you want good, don't be selfish, don't be conceited. In humility, actually count others more important than you. Don't just look to your needs, but look to the needs of others. Whew. That's joyful. Jesus, others, yourself. You're not left out. It's just not all about you. I know I've shared this before, but there's this movie called Beethoven. Does anybody remember this? Beethoven, big old St. Bernard, right? Right in the beginning, you totally miss it if you weren't like just geeking out on teachable moments like I do on the regular. This little girl's on the phone and she's like, oh yeah, they broke up a long time ago, like a week ago. Oh, why? Well, it's for religious differences. He thought he was God and she disagreed. Look, let me give you a theological lesson. And I'll give you an astronomy lesson all at the same time. The world doesn't revolve around you. Your world might. Doesn't work so well if you have anybody else in your life. But it's not all about you. You know what the planets, Timothy Keller says? It's a solar system. Wait for it, because solar means sun, right? Soul, sun. The solar system means that the planets revolve around the sun. Listen to this. If they decided, nope, everybody needs to revolve around me, it wouldn't work. Even if they wanted it to, they were designed to revolve around the sun. The sun doesn't revolve around them. Jesus doesn't revolve around us. We revolve around him. We exist for him. And he's saying, look, if you want to be like me, you're going to suffer a bit. You're going to serve others. And you're going to be fulfilled in doing it. So friends, share him. More comes from giving than hoarding. More comes from giving than hoarding. So it's showtime. If you hear it's showtime, it's like people are putting on a show. You are a display. You are a show. So here we go. Let's look at what this looks like. Jesus gives us this example. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this mind or this attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, which is the same attitude as Jesus, who though was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped onto for being able to have an advantage, to be able to overcome people. He actually, being God, actually didn't hang on to that, but he emptied himself. He didn't stop being God, by the way. Don't get that twisted. This is a big theological debate. He did not empty himself of being God. He emptied himself of the right to hang on to it. He humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, a slave, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So up to this point, there's two massive things that happened. Jesus, being God, decided that he would humble himself and become a human being, being born a human, like inside the womb. That's pretty humbling. That's amazing. But then, wait, it got even more humbling for him. He humbled himself to death. Not for his own problems, but for all of our sin. But it gets even deeper. It wasn't just he stopped breathing. He had death on a cross. This was horrific. Even the Romans, after perfecting it, said, this is just too bad. We're not going to do this anymore. Therefore, let me just talk about that for a month and a half. What's the therefore, therefore? Well, Jesus laid down his rights. He humbled himself. He became a human being. He died, and he even died on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This month, we're looking at the spiritual discipline of confession, confessing your sins one to another, confessing to the Lord. Why don't we start with confessing that Jesus is Lord? And that'll come out in our lifestyles, friends. That'll come out in our worship. That'll come out in the fact that what we love will be him more and more and more. He is not a wicked Lord. He's a righteous Lord. He's a Lord that humbled himself for you and me. Gave himself for us. This is the example. It's humility. Humility, he says it right here in the text, humility is emptying yourself. I used to think that humility was saying how terrible I am. No, humility actually makes it not about me at all. It makes it about Jesus, others, and then me. This is true joy. He said, if you want to make my joy complete, right? He's like, give your life away. Lay yourself out there. If you're encouraged, you got anything good in Jesus, give it away. Here's the coolest thing about that. You get more as you give it away. As I'm being poured out, I'm being filled up over and over and over again. See, Oliver knows. Okay. So it comes back to this again and again in my life. Jesus first. And then others. And then myself. And because I'm not good at remembering that, Jesus is good at reminding me over and over and over again. He's faithful to complete the work he began in us. That just wasn't chapter one. That's all the time for us, right? He's faithful to complete the work that he began in us. And we just read that for him to be our focus is life. And then for us to actually die is gain, because then we're in his presence with no problems at all. So, dear friend, we win no matter what, even when it feels like we're not winning. Let's go to Philippians 2, 12 and 13. I love this. Every tongue, it says in verse 11, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some of us are doing it now. Some of us will have to do it. Here goes another therefore. Since Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence. You might remember he was writing to a group of people that were having a lot of struggles. We're a group of people that are having a lot of struggles. I've said it over and over again. This has been the most difficult year of my life. And it has precious little to do with the pandemic. I've got a few things I can look at that are celebratory and wonderful. These two getting married, right up there. God's faithfulness, always at the top. I've seen more of Jesus in this most difficult year of my life than I have ever before. And I still whine, and he's still faithful. So he says, look, don't just do it when I'm around you. Even more when I'm not. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen to this verse. This is powerful. It's God who works in you, both to will, like to want to, and to work for his good pleasure. It's God that does it. Do you need help from other people? Yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, God is helping you to will and to want to and to work it out. Now, understand this, and I'll quote this, because this guy, Akshay Rajkumar, is an amazing teacher. Short little stuff on Right Now Media. It's called Real Life and it's about Philippians. Please go watch it. Way, way, way more impactful than what I could come up with. But I am who I am and I praise God for that and I'll offer, but this dude is bringing it in like 15 minutes. And you're like, oh good, because you're over right now. Well, he's got little 15-minute venues and they're ridiculously great. But he says, working out your salvation isn't the means of salvation. It's the evidence of it. So instead of thinking, let me give you a bigger perspective, thinking bigger. Instead of thinking of the ups and downs of life, although that's very real, can we start thinking about the ins and outs? Jesus works stuff in you and then it comes out. Jesus works stuff in you and then it comes out. Jesus is pouring into you and it comes out and you work it out. You're part of this. This isn't your salvation. It's evidence of your salvation. It's going to come out. Now, some of us need to repent because we've been doing some things that doesn't look like salvation. It looks like us hanging on to life. When life has been given to you and cannot be taken from you, you stop breathing. It's gain. This idea isn't simply a change of perspective. It could be a change of life for you. God working in you and pouring into you and giving to you and you receiving it and working it and pouring it out. And it keeps going. We must move on. Verse 14, we're just going to have to sit in this one for a few seconds. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Some of you might be thinking, I wish I was a Greek expert, because I'd like to understand what the word all means. Friends, you're all Greek experts today. It means all. All things. Sit in that for a second. I know you've had your kids memorize it, but what about you? And then I was like, all right, Lord, I want to try, I guess, to really, really pay attention to your spirit. So I won't ignore the fact that you're bringing James 4, 1 through 3 to my mind when I sit in this and think about doing all things without grumbling or disputing. James 4, 1 through 3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you don't have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you do ask, and you don't receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Back to Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If we look like the world, we're not going to make a difference. Jesus says you get thrown out and trampled by men. Oh, I don't want to lose my salvation. Don't be afraid of that. Be afraid of not making a difference. Jesus says you're a city set on a hill. Don't hide that light. Be different from the world. I'm going to give you a little snapshot. We're heavily considering that next year's theme and focus will be beyond normal. We so often want us to get back to normal. Dear friends, say goodbye to that as a Christian. Normal. What is normal? What is normal? You be a light in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain, Paul says, or that I didn't work in vain. Even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, like you guys sacrifice yourself and then I get to top it off by dying for my faith. He's like, even if that happens, I'm glad and I rejoice with you all. Unity. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. And then he talks about a couple of his buddies that are like him. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Verse 21. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. He's talking about Christians. He's like comparing, okay, 2:21 to 1:21. Just for a second. Remember 1:21? We just talked about it. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's saying, look, everybody here seeks their own interests and not those of Christ, except for Timothy. Timothy gets outside of himself. He actually is super important to me, so I want to give him to you. That's putting others ahead of himself. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Now, I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Listen to that. Epaphroditus is like, I guess, his calling card. My brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, your messenger, and a minister to my need. I want to send you the people that are helping me so you can be encouraged, so you can be helped. Somehow I think Paul believes what he's writing. It's about Jesus and others and then me. For he's been longing for you all. He was from their fellowship. And he's been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm in prison, but then I would have had to grieve the loss of my brother. But God said, no, we're going to work this out. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again. You heard he was dead, but he's alive now. He almost died. He was only mostly dead. And then you'll be able to see him again, and then that'll help me be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men as Timothy and Epaphroditus. For he nearly died for the work of Christ. He nearly died twice, once with sickness and once because of the gospel. He was risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. He came repping you guys and he almost died for it. So let's finish with this. Big thinkers like Jesus, Timothy, Epaphroditus, maybe like us, we see the bigger picture. We humble ourselves. Like, this isn't all there is. I get to live for something so much more. Big thinkers know their true identity and it cannot be taken from them. Thinking bigger means Jesus, others, and yourself. This is complete, full, perfect joy. Jesus, others, yourself. That may be all you remember today, and that'll be enough. I encourage you. A double dog dare you to go out this week and make it about Jesus, others, and yourself. Think bigger. I have some questions for you, and I'll just go through them really quickly. Why is unity among Christ followers a joy builder? How is selfish ambition or conceit not actually loving yourself? It's all about you, but it's not actually loving yourself. How? What is it about Jesus' mind or attitude, Philippians 2, 3 through 8, that is so crucial to thinking, loving, and living bigger. And please reread Philippians 2, 12 through 16. What stands out to you is helpful and encouraging to having the mind of Christ. And then please confess your need for God's strength and pray for a life that shows the mind of Christ. Jesus, we confess that we need you. We need your strength. We need your perspective. We need your lordship. And as your people, we have it. I pray for anybody who hasn't submitted to you and surrendered to you that today would be the day. And those who need to do that again, they would do so, Lord, so that we can show your mind, your attitude, your life to this desperately dark, broken, dying world. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Go show them off. It's showtime. See ya.